Beyond presents Fragments. The Prodigal Son. Hello and welcome to this Fragments episode looking at The Prodigal Son, printed around 1530 from the press of William Rastall, son of John Rastall, two of the most important early printers of plays. As ever with Fragments, this full-cast audio adaptation has been pulled together around our usual recording schedule and hasn't got a budget, so it misses some stuff I'd normally like to add. I should note now that the text plays with misogynist tropes of a shrewish wife and talks about firewood with a word that has another meaning in the modern world that, out of context, is, unfortunate. To unlock this fragment, it helps to have worked on another interlude on the same subject, The Disobedient Child by Thomas England. It would also help to look at the Recivius Texta version, but I don't have it to hand. Because we usually start with reading a text like this cold, we and other commentators are easily lulled into misreading the character relationships. There are four characters, but we'll start with the first three. First is Pater, i.e. father. And Pater is father. Not sure if that's a tautology or not. Pater is father to Phileas, i.e. the son, who is the prodigal son of the title. The son has disobeyed his father and married Uxor, i.e. wife. Now, it's easy when first reading the play to think of Uxor as being married to Pater, to the father, but when you've seen a fuller version of the story in The Disobedient Child, it's clear that she's the wife of the son, who is starting to regret his choice of marrying without his father's consent. Why is it so easy to get confused? Well, because the dramaturgy of this fragment is really interesting. Firstly, it isn't actually clear how the stage is set as the fragment opens. Uxor, Pater and Phileas might all be on stage, though maybe not. They may all be on stage, but not necessarily in the same place, and may not really be interacting with each other. So Uxor might be by her house with a chair outside for sewing. She will sit down in a moment. But Pater is probably somewhere else on the stage, while Phileas, the son, is initially wandering around and maybe off stage completely. So let's begin at the beginning of the fragment. It looks initially a bit like Uxor and Pater, the wife and the father, are having a row, insulting each other to their faces.
I can have lovers more than one or two that shall make my husband without fail to have 20 horns more than a snail.
The devil cast wildfire in thy tail.
But later on, it becomes more probable that Pater isn't talking to Uxor at all, that Pater is commentating on the action to the audience. Uxor, similarly, may be just performing her disdain for her husband, the wandering Phileas, either for her husband or the audience or anyone in earshot. In fact, it's reasonable to suggest that no one is directly talking to anyone for most of this fragment, which makes it confusing. Unless I've got it wrong. Answers on a postcard. So the wife, Uxor, casts out these lines of disdain.
I can have lovers more than one or two that shall make my husband without fail to have 20 horns more than a snail.
And the father, her father-in-law, comments.
The devil cast wildfire in thy tail.
And the son says,
will you buy any faggots?
Not that kind of firewood, never mind. The son, Phileas, is selling wood and is possibly just wandering on and off stage saying this one line with increased despair. His wife, meanwhile, gets on with some needlework.
But now I must knead with a needle and a thread. A napkin go sew for Sir John Rose to wipe therewith his nose. I will sit here alone.
And the son says,
Will you buy any faggots?
It's an unfortunate line. Move on. Uxor sits down and sews. And it's an interesting question about that last line. Is Sir John Rose a possible lover? Is the reference to wiping his nose a sexual innuendo? Nose for penis wiped down after sex? Or maybe I've just got a dirty mind. Anyway, she's going to expand on her sexual situation in song. Well, it would be a song, but we didn't have time to record it as a song. One day. Okay? One day.
An husband I have, and he is but a knave, and I am a wily pie. I set him on the score and tell him before that a cuckold he shall die.
Now, we don't know if Uxor exits at this point or remains on stage throughout the following action. No idea. The text gives us no clues. Wherever she is, her father-in-law comments on her song.
Marry, that is well. If that be true, he may go counter at Ericsit Cornu. But let every man mark it all his life, and he shall not find it long of the good wife.
Will you buy any faggots?
And the son says,
will you buy any faggots?
Now, I wonder if the line is actually basically extempore. There may be some room for improv here. Anyway, the stage direction says, here the son cometh in again, lamentably saying as followeth. So the line, will you buy, could be entirely an off-stage act. I personally think it works better if he enters, says the line, and exits, more downtrodden each time as a repeated action, and just keeps wandering back and forth upstage. But maybe, as I say, it's just a voiced off-stage action. Anyway, now that the son has officially entered the stage, he laments his life choices.
I have walked up and down the street, and not with one there I can meet that will my faggots buy. Now to my home, when that I shall come, I shall be beaten bitterly. I would the earth had been swallowed, me father's will, when I not followed, he would have had me a clerk. But I was a fool so stark that his mind I judged naught, but that I have now dearly bought. Oh, woe is to that man all days of his life that hath a shrewd queen to his wife. All this trouble my father told me before, but of his words I made no store. That alack, and weal away, that ever I live to see this day. Swallow me, earth, I heartily thee pray.
And his father offers this crumb of comfort.
It is too late, son, now so to say.
Or not. It's a hard lesson. The father not giving an inch. Again, Pater says nothing from this point onwards, so that might be his exit line. He could be the person unrecognised who his son tries to sell wood to in the next line.
Now, gentle master, buy me wood. I ask for it but a penny good. For surely, if I home it bring, this is the last day of my living.
Or it could just be business with an extra, or the audience. Alternatively, Phileas could be trying to sell his wood to the next character who enters now, a servant. The stage direction follows the previous lines, but it could run thusly. Enter servant who approaches Phileas, the son.
Now, gentle master, buy me wood. I ask for it but a penny good. For surely, if I home it bring, this is the last day of my living.
At which point the servant speaks some strange language.
Oh, I cry your mercy, master. I stand in your way.
E-da-ba-do-ba-ba-ba.
I pray you pardon me. I won't know what you say.
Alternatively, the servant could just enter where it says, and he speaks some strange language as Phileas stands in his way. Now, we do not know what this strange language is. I have recorded a number of different takes, playing around with what kind of language we might go for. It might be Latin, because Phileas thinks the servant is learned, but we don't know. So, I say, I've recorded some nonsense, I have recorded some Latin, I've recorded something sort of in between. We don't have enough data to know what the hell is going on there.
I can understand no Latin. I was never at Oxenby. No, nor yet in Cambridge. Nor other insta-uniste.
Sir, ye should say university, not instinustiny. We don't know also how to pronounce instinustity. It's supposed to be some sort of rustic form of university, but not really sure how to make what is written work. But hey, instinustiny will do.
No, I pray you, good sir, hold me excused. For two such rip-rip terms I am not used.
Well, fellow, let me thy faggots by, and here is for them a penny.
You shall have them, maester, with all me heart. But tell me your name before you depart.
So, the servant is into buying wood, and because he's a comedy servant clown type, he has been given a feed to do some wordplay stand-up. My name is Robin Runaway, an ostler that maketh the bottles of hay, dwelling the next house to the cuckold's home, not far from the place that your father was born. Jinkin Jumbler, Rafe Rumbler, Philip Slumberer, Tomkin Tumbler, Stephen Stumbler, Henry Humbler, Martin Mumbler, Bennett Bumbler, Gwyn Grumbler, do dwell verily with the same man as I.
Oh. But yet you told me not your maester's name.
Of a truth, sir, in that I was to blame. His name is Humphrey Heartless, the truth to say, beaten of his wife sometimes twice a day. And that's the end of the fragment. There is possibly plot going on in that lot. It's possible the references to dwelling the next house to the cuckolds means that he lives next door to the son, who he's talking to, who is being cuckolded by his wife. We don't know whether the wife is really cuckolding him or not, or just constantly talking about it. Now, which, considering the son's wife's broadcasts of his failure to the world, all this is reasonable local knowledge. If the son's wife is broadcasting it to the open world, or whether she's just talking to the audience, it's not clear from the fragment precisely where this is going. Beyond that, here we have another exposition on the shrew figure. Humphrey Heartless is being beaten of wife also. To get a fuller sense of the story being told, I can recommend our exploring sessions on the disobedient child, links in the show description. Whilst the play doesn't feature a scene like this, the events otherwise are the same, and I'm toying with building a composite play to give this one scene more room to be performed with improv and new material as needed. But until then, when we can get around to doing things like actual songs, here is the fragment known as The Prodigal Son, or Pater Filius et Uxor, with Lee MacDonald as Uxor, wife to Filius, Geir Madland as Pater, father to Filius, Simon Nader as Filius, son to Pater, husband to Uxor, and myself, your host, Robert Crichton, as servant. Enjoy.
I can have lovers mo' than one or two that shall make my husband without fail to have 20 horns more than a snail.
Ha! The devil cast wildfire in thy tail.
Will you buy any faggots?
But now I must knead with a needle and a thread. A napkin go so for Sir John Rose to wipe therewith his nose. I will sit here alone.
Will you buy any faggots?
An husband I have, and he is but a knave, and I am a wily pie. I set him on the score and tell him before that a cuckold he shall die.
Marry, that is well. If that be true, he may go counter at Ericsit Cornu. But let every man mark it all his life, and he shall not find it long of the good wife.
Will you buy any faggots? Will you buy any faggots? I have walked up and down the street, and not with one there I can meet that will my faggots buy. Now to my home. When that I shall come, I shall be beaten bitterly. I would the earth had me swallowed. Me father's will when I not followed. He would have had me a clerk. But I was a fool so stark that his mind I judged naught, but that I have now dearly bought. Oh, woe is to that man all days of his life that hath a shrewd queen to his wife. All this trouble my father told me before, but of his words I made no store. Though alack, alack, and weal away that ever I lived to see this day. Swallow me, earth, I heartily thee pray.
It is too late, son, now so to say.
Now, gentle master, buy me wood. I ask for it but a penny good. For surely, if I home it bring, this is the last day of my living.
Oh!
Oh, I cry your mercy, master. I stand in your way.
E-da-ba-do-ba-ba.
I pray you pardon me. I won't know what you say.
Da.
I can understand no Latin. I was never at Oxenby. No, nor yet in Cambridge. Nor other insta-uniste.
Sir, ye should say university, not instinustany.
No, I pray you, good sir, hold me excused. For two such rip-rip terms I am not used.
Well, fellow, let me thy faggots buy, and here is for them a penny.
You shall have them, master, with all me heart. But tell me your name before you depart.
My name is Robin Runaway, an ostler that maketh the bottles of hay, dwelling the next house to the cuckold's home, not far from the place that your father was born. Jinkin Jumbler, Rafe Rumbler, Philip Slumberer, Tomkin Tumbler, Stephen Stumbler, Henry Humbler, Martin Mumbler, Bennett Bumbler, Gwyn Grumbler, do dwell verily with the same man as I.
Oh, but yet you told me not your master's name.
Of a truth, sir, in that I was to blame. His name is Humphrey Heartless, the truth to say, beaten of his wife sometimes twice a day. In the fragment known as The Prodigal Son, or Pater Filius et Uxor, Uxor was played by Lee MacDonald, Pater by Geir Madland, Filius by Simon Nader, and The Servant by Robert Crichton. The Prodigal Son was hosted and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. Beyond is supported by its patrons. Become a patron and you get to choose the plays we work on next. There is a host of additional exclusives and early access material. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show notes. Goodbye.
Will you buy any faggots? Will you... what's the use? Will you buy any faggots? Faggots! Will you buy any faggots?
Butt scratcher! Butt scratcher! Albatross! Get your albatrosses!